I think my biggest fear is turning that on while I'm still singing. That would clear the building quick. It's such a pleasure to be here this morning. I'm Sheila Bagley. Derek and I are the small group coordinators at North Point, and there's a lot of you. We attend regularly this first service, so I may be an unfamiliar face to a lot of you, but we have been at North Point for about 7 years. We just are always seem to be in the first service. Sometimes we hang around afterwards, but we usually just attend to the first service. And when Jim asked me to share this morning, I was impressed. He said he had an opportunity to serve some youth this weekend and wanted to take that opportunity, but he was wanting someone to fill in for him. And I thought about one of the things I really admire about our pastor is his servant leadership. He's a great model of that servant leadership for us. I heard it said recently that you can teach what you know, but you reproduce what you are. And I think that that is so true right here at North Point in Jim, and that's how we're able to do what we do with all volunteer staff, because our leader is a servant leader, and he's a volunteer, he gives of himself, and so that multiplies through our congregation, and we have a lot of people who are servant leaders, and it's a privilege to be here this morning, have the opportunity to share with you. I'm thankful for the elders and for their confidence to allow me this privilege, and I appreciate the people who've known that I was speaking and have been praying for me. As I began to pray about what I wanted to share, my first thought was it's Memorial Day weekend, and I was thinking, well, Lord, please let a lot of people be traveling so they won't be there. You know, I have a smaller congregation. And thankfully, he answered that prayer because I see a lot of empty seats. But what I thought of is how Memorial Day is, you know, kind of like the kickoff for summer and how excited we get with that extra, you know, day off with pay. And, you know, rightfully so. We work hard and we always like a day off. But how all of us tend, I'm really bad, I tend to forget things I'm supposed to remember. And Memorial Day is a memorial. Memorials help us remember. And the thing that this day is designed to help us remember is that freedom isn't free, that it has a great cost, and at times even cost the lives of people. And, you know, you don't factor that in as much, I think, until it personally impacts you. And I remember having the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C., and I saw the Vietnam Memorial Wall. That was the first time, I think, in my adult life that I stood there and realized, I thought, wow, I didn't realize that wall was quite so big and long, and I also didn't realize the names were so tiny. And I was like, wow, that's a lot of names. That means that's a lot of people. That's a lot of loss of life for our freedom. I found out there's like 52,000 some odd names on that. You know, and then more recently, my son is in the Air Force, and in 2004 he graduated from University of Georgia on a ROTC and was commissioned into the Air Force. One of the young ladies who was commissioned with him in 2004, her name was Ashley Henderson Huff. She was commissioned with the Army, and in 2006 she was killed in Iraq. So it hit a little closer to home. And then when I come up here to this place of worship, every time I turn and come up here, whether I'm walking or whether I'm driving, I'm on the Lance Corporal Seth Sharp Memorial Highway. And I know a lot of you guys know him. I didn't personally know him, but he was from this area. And he was killed in 2009 in Afghanistan. So it begins to be closer to home to us. And so I want us to just want to encourage you tomorrow, whatever you do to celebrate your day off, just remember those who pay that price so we can have freedom to worship, to do what we want to do. It still comes at great cost, and so we want to honor those who gave everything so that we could, you know, have that freedom. So, but that wasn't what the Lord put on my heart to share today. I'm going to be talking to you guys about something very exciting to me. obedience. And in doing that, I get to share with you our North Point story. As I said, we came here in 2005. And here's how that happened. And it's a little bit of a long, so I want to give you all the details because it's really a good story. Derek and I, in 2003, okay? In 2003, our youngest son, some of you may know Tex. Y'all know Tex Bagley? Some of you know. Okay, he's the one we sponsored through Hands and Feet as a missionary to Mexico. In 2003, he was a senior getting ready to graduate from Cartersville High School. We had a nice house in town, rather large house, lots of maintenance and upkeep. And our oldest son was already at college. And time to downsize for the Bagleys. It's just going to be me and Daddy. So we were getting a little house so they couldn't come back. But he was getting ready to graduate, and we got a contract on our house. And the people said, well, we want to move in 2 weeks. Okay, that's doable. But we're going to have to find a house that's empty so that we can, you know, relocate quickly. We grab one of those little real estate guides. And we're flipping through, and Derek and I, we're kind of rustic people. We like the lodge feel. Debbie Hamby calls it, my taste is primitive. I prefer lodge feel, you know, lodge-like, rustic. She says primitive. Anyway, we like log cabins. So there was a log cabin for sale, and we looked up the little information. It was on Orchard Road. Well, where is that? So we get out the map, and we find it. We drive up here to take a look at this little log cabin that's over here beside the church. We peek in the windows. It's vacant, you know, but you know, it just really isn't what we're looking for. So we're about to drive away from the log cabin, and I said, what is that? Look over there. Is that a church? At that point in 2003, the parking lot wasn't paved. It was just a metal building. We couldn't really tell from the house. So I said, drive over there. And here we were. We were in a hurry, but we decided I was very curious. Drive over there. Let's see what that is. We drove over here, and we pulled into the parking lot facing right there at where you come in under the pavilion thing. And you could see the cross and the brick between the doors. Well, it's a church. Obviously a church. Well, who would build a church up here? There was no sign. What is up with this? You know, what kind of church is this? No clue. We're sitting there in our car it was a mystery. We were puzzled. We were really puzzled. All of a sudden, we got quiet. And I looked at him and I said, do you sense what I sense here? And he said, I do. And I said, there is a tangible presence of God at work in this place. I said, I don't know who worships here, but God is among them. That's us sitting in our car looking at a log cabin. Well, we were like, well, that's interesting. So we go on down the hill, found a house in New Harley, bought the house, moved everything. 2 years later, 2005, and the Lord is working in mine and Derek's heart. He's the praise and worship leader at the church we attend. It was in Marietta. I'm teaching, leading, you know, teaching and very, very involved. Love our pastors. We loved them. They were mentors to us. We loved them. We were growing under their ministry. But God was saying to our heart, it's not where I need you to be. You're too far away, and I want you to do marriage, mentoring ministry. Well, the church we were at was a transient type church. It had a lot of people in and out, great church, but didn't have a lot of young couples and not many, you know, families that were just living in the area and coming. A lot of people were driving in to the church. We ourselves were driving 30 miles to the church, which wasn't conducive to what type ministry God had put on our heart. So we knew God was working in our heart to move us. So I said to Derek, we talked about it, and I said, well, where do you think God wants us to go? Now, Derek and I have been serving the Lord since we were 19 years old. All of our adult life we've spent kind of in the church. We had only changed churches one time, though, during that time. So we didn't go from church to church, so this was like new for us. But we had friends, and pastor friends, and laity friends, and missionary friends, and churches all over Cartersville. I mean, we could have gone anywhere, and been right among people we knew and started serving and things like that. We talked about several different options. And I told him, I said, here's what I know. I said, if God's leading us away from where we are, then he's leading us to somewhere. And he already knows where. And I'm not going all over hippity-hop, jumping here and there and visiting. I'm not doing that. God's going to speak to our heart, and he's going to say where we're supposed to be, and we're going to go there. And that's it. He agreed. He's like, yes, you're right. And that's the. So we just waited. We said, we're going to wait till we know where we're supposed to go. But in the meantime, we're talking about it and praying about it, you know, and asking the Lord, is it here? We're supposed to go here? No. Well, in our conversation, I said, you know what? The Lord, I said, do you remember back 2 years ago, we were looking at that log cabin, and there was that church up on that hill. Do you remember even where that was? And Derek's like, I think I remember how to get there, somewhere up off of 41. I said, how far was that? Where was that? He says, let me go and see if I can find that church again and see if they got a sign now. Maybe find out what kind of church it is. I said, yeah, let's do that. You follow through on that. So he comes up here, he found it, drives up, and he calls me on his cell phone from out there at the marquee. Hey, they got a sign now. Oh, really? He said, yeah, they meet at 11, at 9 and 11. I was like, on Sundays, 9 and 11. I said, oh, I said, what's the name of the church? It's North Point. I said, is it Baptist? He said, I don't know, it don't say. Okay, well, you know. So I was like, okay. Well, we told our pastors, we're going to go visit this church that we believe God is leading us to. This was April of 2005. We took that Sunday morning, came here, covered all of our positions at church, came in, and we came in and sat, you know, kind of right there where we sit, a little further back. And all during the service, we kept looking at each other like, oh, wow, oh, wow. At the end of the service, we could barely make it out to the car. Our eyes were teared up. We were so excited. And we knew that God had led us to our new church family. We did not know a soul among you. Not one person did we know. And God had just so impressed us. This is it. This is where I'm taking you. So we started right away, went back, told our pastor, and we had over for dinner to let him know. They wept. We wept. My pastor at the time, he said, is this our last supper? No, it's not our, they're still our friends. We're still very close to them. But they gave us their blessing, and we began right away, you know, as soon as we got everything taken care of there, we started attending here regularly. And but we're living in New Harley. Remember, we bought a house in New Harley. Well, that's a little bit of a commute, and God had really impressed on us. We was going to, he's going to put us real close to where we worship. So we took out the Bartow County map. We found that Orchard Road again, and we took and drew a radius. We drew a circle, like a 10-mile radius around the church. And we started a house hunt, or a place to build a house hunt. 2 miles from here, there was a little neighborhood going up. We found a lot, found a builder, built a house, got ready to relocate. It was an exciting move for us, but it wasn't without sacrifice. You know, we had to leave everything and come, you know, it's really a transition for us. But we got here and moved into our house in 2006, October of 2006, just in time with Miss Kitty's class. I was going in the little trailer out here, and Miss Kitty said, we've got some missionaries coming up from Mexico with Roy Adams and Hands and Feet, and they need places to stay. Well, I had just built a house with 3 bedrooms and 2 miles from the church, and my hand goes up, and I'd only lived there 2 weeks. And I'm like, we'll take two, we'll take four. Let me take them. Well, they came, they stayed at our house, had a wonderful, wonderful time with them, and 4 young men. And in the course of our weekend together, we shared about our faith and our family. We shared with them about our sons, of course. We have one son that's headed in the Air Force. Yeah, he's a pilot. He's pretty well on track. And, that's good. That's exciting. And I said, you have 2 children? I said, yeah, we have another son. He needs prayer. God is at work, and we're believing that God is working. Not seeing it, but we're believing it. those young Mexico men said, "We will pray with you for your son. We'll pray for your son." That would be great. So they prayed with us for our son. And we prayed together, shared together, sang together, wonderful time. They went on. That was October of 2006. In December of 2006, our son came home. Not home for Christmas, but home. Home to the Lord. And the rest, the story continues. It's still continuing. But he came. It was so funny because the next summer, he went on a mission trip to Mexico with Roy Adams. Lo and behold, guess who he runs into? Those people that had stayed. And he's telling me, "I met Salo." And I said, "Oh, I think they stayed at our house back last October. Ask them if they remember us." So he goes and he says, "Hey, I think you guys stayed at my parents' house." And he was describing, "Oh, yes, we did, we did. And you're their son?" And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "You're the pilot?" And then he said, "No, I'm the other one." They said, "Oh, praise God." Really neat story. Now, here's the thing that was the key to that. This story is continuing in our life. You know, God is just continuing to work and to bless us here. It's a great journey. I'm excited. I mean, maybe it's not exciting to you, but every day is exciting to me because I'm on a journey with my Heavenly Father, and He knows where we're going, and that's very exciting to me. He continues to just open doors and allow us opportunities, but the key that I know to blessing is obedience, our obedience. So that's why we're talking today, and we're going to be looking at Abraham, who's an Old Testament character in the Bible, but is a tremendous example of obedience. And we're going to look at some characteristics of his life that also relate to what we experience and continue to experience in our own life. I titled it "The Impact of Obedience" because the impact of obedience is not something we see. It's not like really quick. Usually the results are not as quick and it's not as tangible. The impact of disobedience sometimes is. I personally learned about the impact of obedience as a child. In my generation, disobedience had pretty quick impact, usually with my backside. My dad, you know, in loving discipline, of course, not abuse, but in loving discipline, there was a rod of correction applied to disobedient children. And I learned about the impact of disobedience, but today we're talking about the impact of obedience. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to look at Abraham. Now, Abraham is a very important character because through him, God planned to bring salvation to the world through his seed. So I'm going to read these scriptures and we're going to take a look. The first one is verse 8. It says, "By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." Does that sound like our story? Obeyed and went. He obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. God didn't give him a map. Now, he was 75 years old at this time, and he just picked up everything and left the land of Ur and started out on this journey, to go and be obedient to what God said. First thing about it, his obedience was prompt. His obedience was prompt. I can consider this. I ask you if you can consider this. What if Derek and I had decided that we would just wait a year or two before we make such a drastic transition in our life? What if we had decided that there was really no urgency or hurry? I mean, the church had been there, it's going to be there, you know, who knows? What if we had delayed our obedience? Would you consider that possibly the whole chain of events would have been altered? I believe it could have. I believe that delayed obedience is a form of disobedience. And we don't know what God's up to, but He has very clear timing. I can look back now to 2005, 6, 7, and see very clear timing issues. And we had to be on God's timing for certain things to happen. See, we don't think that way. We just think, oh, we're lackadaisical about when to do things. No, when God speaks to our heart to do something, let's get busy doing it. Don't hesitate. Don't make excuses or wait. Move. He's got a plan. He's got time. And you may not see it right then, but time goes on and you will see it. Abraham didn't know where he was going. He said, go to a land I will show you. But he packed up and went. His obedience was prompt. Second, it was peculiar. Abraham's obedience was peculiar. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. That sounds a little peculiar, doesn't it? I think that's a little peculiar to just pick up and go for a city that you're not really looking for a city. When we made our move and we were trying to explain to our friends, they kind of look at you. You're doing what now? And you're doing that. Why? Exactly why? It was peculiar. But you know what I'm happy about? The Lord led us to a place of full of peculiar people. You are very peculiar. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but there are people here who give of themselves. They give of themselves, and they don't ask for anything in return. Isn't that peculiar? There are people who actually take their vacation time, and instead of going on a cruise or a, you know, trip that they want to go on to, and of course, there's nothing wrong with that. I enjoy my vacations. But there are people who take their vacation time and instead of going to do something they want to do, go serve in a foreign country, go serve in another state to help build or do something to serve other people. They're on vacation time. That's peculiar, isn't it? I think it's peculiar in the world. They don't understand. They don't get that, do they? When you tell them, oh, I'm putting in for vacation. Last year, I used one day of vacation so I could do the food program because I work, but I needed an extra half hour a day to make the trip back from work over to the food program and back. So I could only do it one day a week, but I took a day vacation and I was explaining to them, I need one day and I want to take it 1 hour a week for 8 weeks. And they're like, what? What? It's peculiar to people. People who actually risk their lives to go into foreign countries and take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, peculiar? Is that peculiar? Abraham was peculiar. When we obey the voice of God, we're going to be perceived as peculiar. That's okay. I think that's okay. And I'm thankful that we're among a people who are peculiar people. And I continue to see that. I just meet people, I talk to people, and I'm excited. In 1 Peter 2:9, God says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And in that context, I don't mind being peculiar, and I hope you don't either. Third thing is, Abraham's obedience was productive. Verse 11 of Hebrews 11 says, by faith Abraham, even when he was past the age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, that's a nice way to be described, isn't it? Came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. That's some major impact, isn't it, from obedience? Major impact. The other verses that I put in the outline are just for you to read, you know, at your leisure, but they reinforce what we're talking about here. See, Abraham's obedience enabled him to become a father of Isaac, who in turn became the father of Jacob and Esau. And Jacob had 12 sons, and those 12 sons are the nation of Israel. And from the nation of Israel came the lion of the tribe of Judah, who is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Very, very multiplied impact of obedience in his life. That obedience is what God's looking for in each one of us, that will multiply impact, that will have supernatural impact, not because it's a good idea that we had, but it's because his plan is already in place. He already had that plan in place. He was looking for someone who would obey him fully, and he tested Abraham in these obedience. He was looking for somebody that would obey so that he could do what he could do through man, what he planned to do. So it was productive. I don't have time, and I'm not even going to start to tell you in the 7 years that we have lived here how productive God has been in our life. There have been, our home has been, let me just say this, our home has been a very eventful place. We have had marriage mentoring going on. We've had people come to Christ. We've had prayer. We've had marriages mended. We have had it going on over there. And it's not us, it's the Lord, what he's doing. Just like he showed us, he's busy here. He's doing something up here in Adairsville. And he invited us. He's like, hey, I got something going on. You guys want to come be a part of something exciting? Come up here. And he has been doing it. And it's been such an excitement to us to get to be a part of that. And that has been a very productive, it's created a tremendous blessing in our life. But that tremendous blessing in your outline, it hinges on obedience. That's the door. It hinges. Obey. The door's open, but obedience kind of pushes and goes on through it. The fourth thing is Abraham's obedience was progressive. Verse 17 says that Abraham, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." See, 75 years old, he obeyed and left Ur. 25 years later, he had Isaac. 25 years of believing a promise before it came to pass. He had Isaac. It was another, say, 15 to 20 years. I don't know how old Isaac was, but he was a young man between, he was born in when God gave him the test of offering Isaac back to him. Abraham's obedience built day by day, step by step. When we take a step of obedience, you're not stepping out on some rotten limb that's going to give. You are stepping out on a rock. If you have a directive from Almighty God to get busy doing something and you step out in faith, you can rest assured that you're stepping on something solid, and he's going to take you step by step. Now, I've been going to church. I'm a church girl. I've been going to church my whole life. In fact, I was going to church whenever I had to stack hymn books on the pew so I could see over to watch the preacher. But they don't make hymn books anymore, so I just have to sit low. But we've been here a long time, and the Lord, step by step, has shown me it's okay to trust me. You can trust me. You can trust me. Now, I have run into some people I can't trust, and you know where I've run into some of them? In the church. That's not relevant. What's relevant is I can trust my Heavenly Father. And when he says go, when he says do, when he says speak, I can do exactly what he asked me to do. And I can trust him with the outcome. It's not up to me. It's not up to me to make anything happen. He has got a plan. And my faith and the faith of Abraham grew as you learn to trust him. You learn to know that he's got this thing, and you're just a part of it. Daily obedience to God, regardless of what God is asking or promising, is a key to an intimate relationship with God. You know, Jesus knew that. When he was on earth, Did you realize that Jesus' death on the cross was an act of obedience? Wasn't just a good idea at the time. Wasn't just something that he decided needed to be done. God had a plan for the salvation of the world from the beginning of the world. He had a plan. Jesus himself, when he was on the earth, had to be obedient to that plan. And it wasn't easy. That's why he prayed in the garden, "If there's any other way, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Perfect example of humble obedience to the plan of God, no matter what the cost. In Philippians 2:8, it says, talking of Jesus, it says, "And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross." Now let me ask you, how many of you are a direct recipient of the impact of that act of obedience? I'm one. His obedience had impact for the world, for generations to come. Our impact has, our obedience has the potential for impact as well. We don't like to think it does, but it does, and I'll tell you why. Here's why it does. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." If you write in your Bible, circle that word, "we." Now, "we" is not Sheila and the frog in her pocket. "We" is Sheila and you, each one of you. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God, I love this, underline this, which God prepared in advance for us to do. If we know that, if we believe that, that it's his plan, and we can just follow his plan, he will use us in ways we can't even begin to imagine, and how he uses us to bring glory and honor to him will have multiplied impact. I love it that our church says making an impact. I just love that. And it offers us all these, I get an email, and it'll say, "Make an impact. Multiply your impact." What is there? What do we need to do? Clean the church? Is it cleaning day? We'll clean. I'll clean. Well, that doesn't, yes, it does matter. Yes, it's important. Everything you do that God puts on your heart to do, every act of obedience has impact. See, that's the work of the enemy, to tell us, you know what? You don't have to obey, or you don't have to right now. You can wait. You know, it won't matter. What you do, what little bit you might be able to contribute, it really won't make a difference. Don't bother. Ooh, that's a lie. It's a lie. And we can't be deceived by lies. We have to believe the truth, and the truth is, no, this is the truth. We are created, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. That's the truth. And our obedience to do those works will determine the impact our lives have on earth and for eternity. You know, every story of where the Lord has impacted a person's life, behind every story of impact in a person's life is a story of obedience. You and I, we're all here because of someone's obedience. Somebody obeyed. Somebody heard the voice of God, heard the call of God, and answered with a yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It may not have seemed like such a big thing at that time. It may have been big, it may not have been big, but they answered, "Yes, Lord." You know, I look back on my life, all the changes we make, continue to make, all the adjustments we have to make in our life to do what God wants us to do, it's worth it. I have zero regret for any step of obedience I've ever taken that the Lord led me. I have no regret. And I have to tell you, I have great anticipation about every opportunity he will give me from today forward to say yes, Lord, again and again. I want to step up. I want to say yes, Lord. He's the King. We sing. I love songs we sing when we say He's the King or the Lord, because I picture in my mind Him in His majesty, King, King of my heart. How could I come and say no? How could I say, well, I'm not, I'm busy. Wait, I got other things. How can I do that? No, my answer is yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And He has been so faithful. And He has blessed us so abundantly. The impact continues. You know, who knows how far-reaching it will be? And I'm not saying that because I'm a very small, I don't think is in my own strength I could make much of an impact. I'm not a very large woman, and you don't make a big impact. But I am connected with a Almighty God, the Almighty God, who through me has the potential to make impact beyond what I'll ever know. Praise God. He is so good. But I pray, my prayer to you today is that you would look at your life and whatever God is asking you to do, be it big or small, if it takes big changes for you, be obedient. Just trust Him. Be obedient. Go forward. Walk and serve. And be willing to answer yes, whatever He leads you to do. Lord, I thank You so much that You love us. Oh, how You love us. How You love us. Help us to know and see. Give us some deeper revelation of how You love us. And then remind us, Lord, that You love others too. And You save us because You love us. But You call us because You love others. Help us never to say no. Help us to never hesitate or be reluctant to follow fully and obediently whatever You lead. Lord, work in each of our hearts to bring us to a place where we're in absolute surrender to Your perfect will, and that we will walk in tremendous blessing as You multiply Your impact in Your kingdom throughout the earth through our obedience and through our lives. We give You praise and glory for everything that You're doing. You are worthy. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.